Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center, I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Today, I welcome Easter Seals Southern California Clinical Director of Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access, Autism Services, Crystal Montalana. Easter Seals Southern California provides essential services and on-the-ground support to more than 15,000 people each year, from early childhood programs to autism services, daily and independent living services for adults, employment programs, veteran services, and more. Thank you, Crystal, for being on Impact OC.
Hi, Dawn. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here to speak about the work that we are doing at Easter Seals.
Crystal is here to talk about Easter Seals Autism Services Disparity Project here in Southern California. Please share with us the demographics of who you serve and the Disparity Project.
Well, autism occurs across all ethnic groups and demographics. However, the impact is not felt equally across these groups. According to research and also with the outreach we're doing, we're finding that children from low-income households and from BIPOC families are facing more barriers to accessing healthcare, including autism services, than are other Americans. So we started the Disparity Project in 2020 to respond to the gap in autism diagnosis and autism services that disproportionately affects these groups. So our goal with this project is to increase access to services and the quality of services that they are receiving.
Explain autism spectrum disorder and the prevalence of autism.
So like you mentioned, it's a spectrum disorder, so it looks different from one individual to another. It's a disorder characterized by delays in social skills, self-help skills, communication skills, and the prevalence of it has increased dramatically in the past two decades. So in the United States currently, one in 44 children aged 8 and older are affected by autism. In California, that number escalates to one in 26. But the, like I mentioned, with the diagnosis, research is showing that Hispanic and African-American children with autism are diagnosed at older ages than white children, which gives them less of an opportunity for early intervention, which is tied to higher success rates and proper treatment.
When can a person be diagnosed?
Yeah, so if parents or caregivers have concerns, they can speak to their doctors if they have concerns about their child's reaching developmental milestones. So they can receive a diagnosis from a doctor, a developmental pediatrician, a psychologist. So they are doing screenings earlier, and I think even at like 1.5, we are finding that children are getting diagnosed with autism. So how, 1.5,
are,
2 years
how
old.
How are they diagnosed? What is the process to learn if they are indeed autistic and on a spectrum?
Yeah, so there's a screening process, and the doctor or the psychologist will do a series of tests and observations to see if the child is meeting the skills that are age appropriate, you know, for that child's age. And if not, then they would receive a diagnosis.
Now, when they receive a diagnosis, what can be done, I guess, to help them progress along and live with their autism diagnosis? Because once you have autism, you have it. You don't grow out of it.
So following a diagnosis, there would be a recommendation for services. So depending on the delays that are observed, that can be applied behavior analysis, which would be typically it's an in-home service that is individualized to teach the child the specific skills that they need to basically to teach them the age-appropriate skills. It could also be a combination of that with physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. So those therapies can help them learn the skills that they need.
So when a child is born, they're not determined at that stage that they have autism. It has to be determined when they're a little older?
Typically, yes. There are CDC milestones that parents can reference to see if their child is meeting the developmental milestones. And if they have concerns, then, yeah, we encourage them to speak to their pediatrician.
But not everybody always does that.
Not everybody does that. But as much as, you know, we can, and that's part of what we're doing with our project, is to increase awareness about what those milestones are and also how to advocate for, you know, if you have concerns, how to communicate that to your pediatrician and how to advocate for services. Because sometimes parents might communicate, but, you know, the concerns might get brushed off or they might be encouraged to wait. And it is important if there's a diagnosis that the earlier you can start the intervention, the better, because that is tied to higher success rates.
What are some of the concerns that are brushed off?
Maybe communication. They might be told that, oh, they'll, you know, talk later, or that they'll start developing the skills later. But if parents are concerned, then we encourage advocating for themselves and, you know, just really like pushing for a screening at least, or testing, to make sure that their child is developing, you know, according to the milestones.
So what is Easter Seals doing to address the disparities in diagnosis and treatment?
Yeah, so what we're doing, a couple of the things that we're doing include outreach to local underserved communities. So increasing awareness about what the milestones are, what is autism, what is an autism diagnosis. The process of getting a diagnosis can be overwhelming. So providing resources for what to expect, you know, for a diagnosis, but also following a diagnosis. We are also helping connect families to health and social care services that could pose as barriers to accessing services. So that can include things like lack of employment or transportation, inadequate housing, assistance with utilities, food insecurity. So those other barriers that, you know, are tied to accessing health insurance and autism services as well. We are also opening up diagnostic centers, which make access easier and to also help ease the bottleneck of the waiting lists that are frequently encountered by families who are seeking answers and help. Our centers provide diagnostic services in multiple language. We also have early and late office hours to accommodate parents' work schedules. The services are low cost and pro bono if families qualify. Currently, the services are the centers are in Irvine, Northridge, and Ontario. We also have partnerships with different community organizations that have a similar mission. So providing like screening resources. And then in terms of our staff, we are also developing recruitment resources and providing training programs that's aimed at increasing the diversity and the cultural responsiveness of our autism services staff, just for more effective outreach.
What are the underserved communities?
Typically, they are BIPOC, families from BIPOC, so Black, Indigenous, and people of color. So families from those backgrounds and low-income families.
Now, are we only talking about families of children, or can it be adults as well that need to get diagnosed and treatment?
Yeah, there is definitely a need for resources for adults as well. The more that we are doing outreach and are getting out into different communities, initially we were really focused on, you know, that early autism, like a screening and milestones. And we're hearing from families that, like, while that is necessary, they also have adult children or children who are in their like older teen years, that there aren't as many resources for them either. And so there's definitely a gap and a need there as well, not just for diagnosis, but also for like transitioning out of high school, employment resources, those kinds of resources as well. So we are going into the next year focusing on partnerships with organizations that provide those types of resources, and putting out events in different communities where families can access resources and connecting them to the services that they need for their older children as well.
What if someone suspects that their teen is autistic and was never diagnosed? And what would be some of the signs of that?
I mean, they would still speak to their doctor about a diagnosis. And like we mentioned earlier, you know, it's such a spectrum, so it really does look different, but it would also be the same categories as far as like social skills or self-help skills, communication skills. It could be delays in those areas as
well. Can you kind of explain, there is a spectrum, but people think, well, what's the low and what's the high?
It looks so different. It's, you know, so different from one case to another. It could be for one child, maybe it's just a communication delay. For one child, it might be their social skills look different than the children in their class. Yeah, it's just because it's such a spectrum, it looks so different. And we often say once you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism, just because it can look so different.
But what about adults? You say there are adults who are walking around. They're autistic, but they've never been diagnosed. Mm-hmm. They could get help through Easter Seals?
They could, yeah. So Easter Seals provides disability services, not just for individuals with autism, but other disabilities as well. And the services that we provide also include employment services. We provide group home services, assisted living resources. So we serve the disability community.
Is that all covered under the Disparity Project? Because a lot of adults were never diagnosed, and it might be because they never had the chance to determine that they were autistic.
The Disparity Project is specifically focused on autism, but we do work closely with the other departments as well. And so if we see there's a need for resources that we can help fill, we collaborate with the other departments and work closely with them.
And what are some of the other departments?
The Workforce is our employment services. We have veteran services. We have child development services, which is like a Head Start program, assisted living, senior services. So, yeah, we all work closely together.
How important is these services to be given to people who are autistic that never encountered any services? How important is it for them to have these services?
Well, from what we are finding when we do the community outreach, the feedback that we are getting is that families really need these resources. They might not be aware of them. They don't know what's out there, that the resources can help them. So it's not only just targeting autism services specifically, but the other health and social care services that can help, increase their ability to access services as well. So whether it's, lack of health insurance or food insecurity, transportation, helping parents find employment. Like, these are things that also affect, the family's ability to receive autism services. So they're all interconnected, and we're targeting all of those barriers, hopefully decreasing and eliminating them, to be able to help families not just connect to the services, but be able to receive them as needed as well.
Can you give us an example of a person who went through the program to get services and what happened as a result of getting services?
Sure. Yeah, we have one that comes to mind is, I know we had a family that we were providing services to, and this was a single mom, but while her son was receiving autism services, they also needed housing and food assistance. So we were able to connect them with local providers for those services to be able to get her weekly food deliveries, assistance with employment, and financial assistance with her utilities. And so not having to worry about that, she's able to focus on her son's, receiving the services from our organization. And she did say that the time he's receiving services, maybe it was a year, that she did see a dramatic increase in his communication skills and his play skills. So that's kind of an example of how it's interconnected, because if she would have had to, put services on hold because to attend to, the family needing food or housing, he would have had to stop the program. That would have delayed maybe some of the skills that he might have gained. And so we really want to make sure that families are not only able to receive the service, but continue receiving the service as well.
How old was that child, and what determined that something was off, that he needed services?
He was young. He was under 5. And I think what stood out to her was his lack of communication skills. He had older siblings, so she was a little bit aware of, what some of the developmental milestones are, and when he wasn't meeting some of the same milestones as his older siblings, that's what prompted her to ask the doctor, communicate her concerns, and get a diagnosis.
And did the doctor connect the parent of that child to Easter Seals?
So typically, when the doctor provides a diagnosis, they either the doctor or the insurance company will provide the family with resources as far as which service providers is covered by insurance to be able to receive services.
And where does Easter Seals come in?
So following a diagnosis, we receive a referral from the physician or from whoever provided the diagnosis. And then we do assessments to identify what are the child's strengths and what are areas that our staff can work on to help increase their skills. So that can be either the child's communication skills, their social skills, their play skills. We do a thorough assessment. And then following the assessment, a clinical team comes in, which is comprised of a supervisor and one-on-one, we call them behavior interventionists, that provide in-home services. If the child is also if they qualify for our other in-clinic services, so that could be physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, they can receive that through Easter Seals as well. Those services are provided through the clinic, and all of our clinicians providing the different types of services, they all collaborate for the coordination of care to ensure that everyone is all on the same page and, you know, providing services collaboratively. And the services are all individualized and tailored to the needs of that child or adult.
Is there a cost for these services?
We work with Kaiser, Kaiser Permanente Insurance, along with a couple of insurance companies as well. And so that depends on what plan the family has.
Now, when a child goes through services, will the child always be in autism services, or will the child...
No, it's not meant to be like a forever service.
Right.
So it depends on the amount of time that they receive services, depends on like how much skills they're gaining, how much, yeah, basically like how many skills, how much they're getting
so
skills.
So it's a way to reach the child so that the child could understand how to live in society and understand social cues.
Well, in order to be independent across their different environments, so whether that's at school, at home, in the community, and a part of it is also caregiver education, and the caregivers are very involved. So when the child gains services, we want them to not only be able to show that they have the skills with our staff, but that it's generalizing to their caregivers, their, you know, the other adults and other people in their life. And so that's what I meant by it's not meant to be forever, because we want them to be able to have these skills no matter who they're interacting with and across like the different environments that they are engaging in.
But you're saying also that there is a big disparity in those who are diagnosed and getting services and those who don't.
Mm-hmm. And access to the services, and then also the quality of services.
So what are you doing to change that?
Increasing awareness, connecting families to the services, whether it's our diagnostic centers or it's screenings at an early age, providing resources for older teens and adults for employment or school, you know, whatever they're interested in. It just depends on the family and their needs. So we are doing outreach across different communities, finding out what are the needs of the different families, and just amping up the resources we have, and having someone who can talk the families through, you know, this is how you can advocate for yourself. This is the services that are available in your local community. We are here to, you know, we'll be on the phone with you. We'll help you connect to the service that you need.
What's their reaction when they realize there are services available?
Oh, they're definitely thankful that we're able to help. I think when we meet the families, they're just very overwhelmed because, you know, if you think about it, like getting a diagnosis, some families might not know what autism even is, and now they're having to navigate a diagnosis and all these different types of services. So I think having someone there to that they, you know, can contact to help them to know what to expect and to help along the process, I think that that's really helpful. But also the social and healthcare piece, knowing that it's not just, you know, the services for their child, but care for their family as well to ensure that they're getting their needs met.
So what you're finding is when a child is diagnosed with autism, you're finding that the family has other needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're taking that whole person approach to care. It's not just about the diagnosis, but what are the things that are affecting the family being able to receive the diagnosis and services.
And the whole goal of the program is?
The whole goal is to increase access to autism and autism services. So that includes reducing and eliminating the barriers that families face to service access.
How can people get in touch with your program?
They can visit our website. It's easterseals.com/ESSC autism. So that's easterseals.com/ESSC autism. Our website has information about our services, our resources, how to schedule an appointment, and all of our programs within Easter Seals as well.
Thank you, Easter Seals, Southern California Clinical Director of Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access Autism Services, Crystal Latalana, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.